Now we're holding on Nun Vav Omud Beis by the Mishnah, the last Mishnah of the Perek. Mishnah says, Habachor, a Bachor Behema, which is brought of the Korban, Vamaiser and Maiser Behema, Vapesach and Hermi Pesach, Kodshim Kalim, all of them are Kodshim Kalim with all of the implications that we said so far. It means that Me'ilah doesn't apply to them until after the Emurim are taken out, and then Me'ilah applies to the Emurim. It means if the meat is taken out of the Azara, it doesn't become possible, unlike Potshe Tadshin, and so on and so forth. Shchitasin v'chomokim v'Azara, they can be shechted anywhere in the Azara, like we've been saying by the Toda and the El Nazar and the rest of them. The Damon Ton Matona Echos, the blood of them has to be applied with one application of blood on the mizbeach, because we're going to see in the Gemara how we learn it out. Now, the point is that by the pasuk now unlike up until now, most of the korbanos we discussed until now, the Torah used somewhere the expression saviv. So we said by the chatas saviv means it's done individually on the four corners of the mizbeach, and by the ola and the shlomim and so forth, it was shei matonis shei nava, subject to the machlokas we had earlier in the perek of how exactly that application is done. But in any case, with all of them, you have more than one. Here the pasuk just says that domim tizrek. You should throw their blood on the mizbeach. So nothing about saviv. So you only do it once. We'll see in the Gemara exactly. We'll see in the Gemara how exactly we learn the details of it. Overvod sheyitin keneged ha'yisoid, provided that one matana is done on some part of the mizbeach above the yisoid. So as we've learned earlier in the Perek, only the western and northern sides of the Mizbeach had a Yisoid. The eastern and southern sides didn't, or at least didn't completely. So you'd have to pour or throw the blood of these three korbanos someplace on a side on one of the sides that has Yisoid. So that's as far as the Shechita and the Zrikin. What about, the Mishnah continues, in all the previous Mishnayos, or most of the previous Mishnayos, we talk about who eats the korban and where. So the Mishnah points out, Shina v'achilosan, there's a difference as far as the eating them. Ha-b'chor nechal l'choyanim, the b'chor is eaten only by koyanim. Interestingly enough, as machlokas we've shown him, whether that means the koyanim. Now the Mishnah does not say over here, like it did in previous ones, lakoyanim, l'nasheim, l'vneim, l'avdeim, and in fact, as machlokas we've shown him, whether it's only the male koyanim eat the b'chor, even though it's kodshim kalim, and usually that should be accessible to everybody in the koyanim's family, but maybe over here it's only male koyanim. The Rambam says that it's like the other ones, that it's also his wife and his avod and children and avod. Whereas the Raivad and the Rash behold that not. So the Bechor is eaten by Koyanim, but Maisa, Bechol Adam, Maisa Behema can be eaten by anybody because the Torah doesn't specifically list it as one of the Matnas Kohonim. There are actually Rishonim who learn that it is considered, the Ritzvah holds, it is actually considered one of the Matnas Kohonim, and all we mean in the Mishnah over here is that after it's given to the Koyan, it doesn't have to be eaten exclusively by the Koyan. Unlike the Bechor, he can give the meat to eat to anybody he wants. But the other way of looking at it is that to begin with, it's not given to the Kohen. V'necholim b'cholayir, both of them can be eaten anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim. B'chol machol, prepared however you want, unlike the Korban Pesach that we're going to talk about in a minute. L'shnei yamim v'layla echad, and you have 2 days and one night to eat it. Rashi points out there was a girsa in front of him that said l'chol adam, but that wouldn't work. We just said the b'chor is exclusively for koyanim, so okay, that's why it doesn't say b'chol. That's why it doesn't say l'chol adam. But it's just b'chol ha'ir b'chol machol. They can be eaten in the entire city, prepared however they want. L'shnei yamim for 2 days, v'layla echad and the one night in between. Now, where do we know that from, that they can be eaten anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim? So Rashi explains like this. There's a pasuk that mentions that you have to bring to Yerushalayim Masrei Seichem, your Masrei Seichem, your Masrus in plural. So that refers to, so the Sifri brings that Rabbi Akiva says that means two types of Meiser, Meiser Behema and Meiser of grain and other produce. So therefore, and the same way as Maisa Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, so we learn from that that Maisa Behema does too. And since the Pasuk also mentions the Bechoris of your cattle and your sheep, then we learn from that that they have the same din. And since the Pasuk doesn't specifically say that they have to be in the Azara, so it means they're in the entire city. Tosfos has a big problem with that, because that same Tosfos lists a whole bunch of things that you have to bring to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Mikdash, and among them are Chatas and Osham. And the fact is, we learned earlier in the parak, the Chatas and the Osham do have to be eaten inside the Azara. So why all of a sudden are we saying that by Bechor and Maisa Behema, maybe they should have to be eaten in the Azara as well? Tosfos brings a different limud for it. The Pasuk later on says that you can't eat them in your other cities, implying that you could eat it in Yerushalayim. But again, you have the same problem. That Pasuk also mentions Chatas and Asham. The Gemara, as Tosfos ends up saying, that the Gemara is going to say that there's a hekish between the chos of a shoik, the breast and thigh of a shlomim, which, as we learned yesterday, are given, or 2 days ago, we learned that those are given to the Kohen to eat. Those are waved, and then they're given to the Kohen to eat, and they can be eaten anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim, and the same thing then would apply to the Bechor. So we would learn it that way. So we would learn it that way, that they can be eaten anywhere in the city. Shittim Kobetzis brings further on the subject another way of looking at it, another reason why we shouldn't think it's like the Chatos and the Ashram, because the Pasuk goes on to say that you and your family can eat it. The Chatos and the Osham are not eaten by the family. They're eaten only by the male Kohenim. So obviously not everything in the Pasuk is meant to be compared together as far as where we can eat them. So when it says by the Shechita, so it says that you should bring them to Oyel Moed, you should bring them to the Mishkan, Mokamashi Yivchar Hashem, fine, that means you have to shecht them over there, but it doesn't mean that you have to eat them in the same place. In fact, they can be eaten anywhere in the city. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Have Pesach. Now, the Korban Pesach is an exception to a number of these things. We just said first we mentioned Bechor, Maaser, and Pesach, which are all alike in where they're shechted and how the blood is applied to the Mizbeach. But we said as far as the eating, we mentioned only Bechor and Maaser so far. A Pesach ain a nechal al balayla. The Korban Pesach is different. It can be eaten only by night, unlike the other ones where we said you have 2 days and one night. The ain a nechal el ad chatzos. It can be eaten only as, where do we know that it's 2 days and one night? So Rashi says the 2 days and one night for Bechor and Maaser. Rashi says the Gemara is going to explain to us a limud on the next Amud how we know Bechor is eaten for 2 days and one night. We're going to have a whole discussion about in the Gemara between Rabbi Yosef Levi, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel. As far as Maaser Behema, Rashi says I don't know where we learned that from. But then Tosfos brings that Rashi later on wrote a Haggah, wrote a note, or Sai on the side of it here. It says that Rashi wrote a Tshuva, where he explains that we learn it by Gzeira Shava from Bechor. And Tosfos doesn't like that, because then that would be earlier in the parak when we had the whole discussion about Lomid Min HaLomid. We said that we brought, what about if you learn one thing from another with a Hekish, can you learn from it to a Gzeira Shava? And he said that that doesn't work. So rather, Tosfos says we learn that Maaser Behema is 2 days and one night. We learn by Binyan Av from Shlomim. So Bechor is one thing. We can't learn Bechor directly from Shlomim because it's given as a gift to the Kohen. But Maaser Behema and Shlomim, neither of them are given to the Kohen per se. So again, when it comes to the Shlomim, there are parts that you give to the Kohen, but it's not the same thing. So therefore, we can derive it directly from Shlomim and say that just like a Shlomim are 2 days and one night, so is Maaser Behema. So the Mishnah says a Pesach in a Nechal Ela Balayla. The Korban Pesach, unlike the other ones, can be eaten only by night. The Ein Nechal Ela Chatzos, you can eat it only until Chatzos, which we'll learn about the details of that in the Gemara. The Ein Nechal Ela Menuyav. Another point is it can be eaten only by those who are registered for it. The Gemara and Psachim discusses those dinim extensively, that the person has to be registered for the Korban Pesach before it's shechted, otherwise you can't eat from it. And usually the registration would be, of course, a person includes his own family, but then you can have, for example, that people would pool together money. People would pay, a person would pay somebody else to be included in this carbon pay stack, and that that money would go towards the expenses of actually buying the carbon itself, and the wood for roasting it, and the matzah and mortar, and so on and so forth. So they would do it that way. And it can be eaten only roasted, as we know, as the Pasuk says, that as the Pasuk says, that it has to be eaten sliyesh. Tosfos points out, you know, the Mishnah, why didn't the Mishnah also mention that it has to be eaten with matzah and mortar? So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, we're only discussing things where we have something similar by other Kodshim, and then we're saying that there's a difference by the Korban Pesach. By the other Kodshim, there's nothing particular that you have to eat other Korbanos together with, so now when we talk about the deadline for eating them, so we're saying that most Korbanos you have a day and a night, you have 2 days and one night, and then the Pesach you should know is an exception, and you have only that night and only until Chatzos. To say to eat it, yeah, you have to eat it with matzah and mora, that's perfectly true, but there's nothing parallel to it by other Korbanos that we should have to mention it. Then Tosfos mentions there's other reasons as well. The fact is it's not ma'akiv, even if you don't have matzah and mor, you're still yod to the korban pesach. And it's also not a mitzvah with gufa. It's not a mitzvah in the gufa of the korban, so therefore there's no particular need to mention it. So the Gemara starts off. Now, this that we're saying, by the way, about the Bechor, Maiska, and Pesach, that all of them, the blood is applied one time to the Mizbeach, the Gemara does actually discuss elsewhere in Pesachim that there is a machloikus about whether all three of them, whether the blood of all three of them is in fact applied exactly the same way, or whether there's a difference. We touched on this earlier in the Masechta. Is it that all three of them is exactly the same thing? All three of them is Zrika, that all three of them is thrown onto the side of the Mizbeach, or maybe some of them are shficha, maybe some of them are poured onto the yisoid. A pouring would be a gentle pouring, whereas zrika would be a throwing, that you take the basin of blood and jerk it and then cause it to splash out towards the Mizbeach. Something more says man tana. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah who says the way the blood is applied of all three of these korbanos, Bechor and Maaser and Pesach, is the same. In other words, the point is, Rashi says, since the Mishnah mentions Shina Bachilosan, they're different as far as the eating, that implies that as far as the application of blood, they're exactly the same. So which Tana is it that says that? Omer Chistur of Yosag Lili. That would be a point of Yosag Lili. The Tanya of Yosag Lili, Omer. The pasuk says regarding a bechor, it says as dom mom tizrek al mizbeach v'as chel bom tachtir. Their blood you should throw on the mizbeach, and their fat you should offer. Why the plural? So he says chel boy le'nemer el chel bom. It doesn't say chel boy in the singular. It says chel bom, their fat. And similarly, domoy le'nemer ela domom, and it doesn't say domoy its blood in the singular, but rather domom in the plural. Limit abachoru ma'aser pesach shetonin matan domim ve'emurim legabim isbeach. So Rabbi Yisrael Levi says that is where we learn that the blood of these three korbanos has to be applied to the mizbeach, and the emurim have to be burnt on the mizbeach, because otherwise you don't have any place else. There's no other place in the Torah where it specifically says that. Where by the korban pesach, in fact, of course, they had the one in the Mitzrayim. They didn't do that at all. They applied the blood to the doorposts, and as far as the emurim, the Gemara mentions in Pesachim that they ate them, because it was before Matan Torah, they were allowed to eat them. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef really says, though, when the Pasuk phrases it in the plural by the Bechor, then it means we learn from that all the other ones. Earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara had explained that there's a different opinion that Rabbi Shmuel actually learned the fact that the Maaser and the Pesach, the blood has to be applied to the Mizbeach. He learns from a different Pasuk, the Damiz Vachecha Yishofich. And he says that the plural over there just means the different kinds of animals, where the pasuk says ach b'chor shur or b'chor kesev or b'chor eid, the b'chor of an ox, sheep, or goat. So Rabbi Shmuel had said the plural refers to those three types of animals, but not to the different types of korbanos. The types of korbanos, ma'aser and pesach, we learn from a different pasuk, and the result is, as the Gemara had said over there, like we just mentioned, that that the bechor, definitely the blood is thrown to the mizbeach. Is that the case with Meiser and Pesach, or is it that instead by those it's poured, then you have this machlokas as a result of that? But Rabbi Yosef Lili, who exactly equates them, would be the Tana of our Mishnah, who says we're therefore the Mishnah can just say the dom and tone matana echas without differentiating that there's a difference between these three. So the Gemara continues. Keneged Yisoid Menalon. How do we know? We said in the Mishnah that the one dashing of the blood of the Bechor Meiser and Pesach has to be above the Yisoid. So Menalon, where do we know that from? Omer Rabbi Yezer, or Rabbi Lazar, it says on the side over here. We have a Gzeira Shava on the word Zrika from an Ola. Here by the Bechor it says, that's Domim Tizrek Alam Mizbeach. And as we just said, according to the Yosef Lili, Domim means also the Meiser and the Pesach. By the Ola also, the Pesach says, Vizorku Asadom Alam Mizbeach. So we have a similarity. And the Ola Gufa Menolon. And in turn, by the Ola itself, where do we know that it has to be above the Yisoid? Just give up Yisoid Mizbeach Ola, because the pasuk says that you have to pour, that you have to sprinkle the blood. Actually, it says by the Chatas, we learned earlier in the Perek, it says earlier by the Chatas, about pouring the Shirayim of the Chatas. It says you pour it, our Yisoid Mizbeach Ola, to the Yisoid and Mizbeach Ola, and we don't need the word Ola, so therefore it means that, it means, we learned earlier in the parak, we had several times where it said Yisod Mizbeach Ola, and one of the times we said tells us about the Ola itself, Liban al Ola Schoiva Shetoni Yisod, that tells us that an Ola, which is a requirement, requires the Yisod, that the blood of the Ola has to be sprinkled above the Yisod. Rashi points out there's really no reason actually for the Gemara to be mentioning this. That pasuk that we said, oh, Yisod Mizbeach Ola, the Gemara had actually used for other Jerushas over there. That the outer Mizbeach has a Yisod, and so on and so forth. We had a whole discussion about it back on Daf Nun Aleph. However, Rashi says, ultimately we learn from a Kavachoymer. We said a Kavachoymer, they are Madach, the Shirayim of the Chatas have to be poured onto the Yisod. How much more so that the actual sprinkling of the blood of the Ola, which is what's Machatur, which is what makes it a kosher carbon, has to be done above the Yisod. So the Gemara is just, Rashi says the Gemara is just kind of abbreviating things over here. Instead of going, all the Gemara is saying is, even if we couldn't make that Kavachoymer work for some reason, we would still have the Pasuk to tell us when it says that Yisod Mizbeach Ola. On Daf Nun Aleph, we had that whole discussion of Tosfos back on Daf Nun Aleph that had several other explanations of that relevant piece of Gemara. And therefore, according to some of them, we could maybe say that we actually are learning it from the Pasuk. We just said that Rabbi Shmuel himself learns that the application of blood of the Meiser and the Pesach is different than the Bechor, and he learns it from a different pasuk. So the Shittu Kubetzis brings that the word Yishofet, it should be poured, implies onto the Yisoid, because pouring implies you do it onto something. So that also is a way of learning that it would be onto the Yisoid. The Gemara asks, E Malahalan Shtei Matona Shtei Nagra. Well, the Gemara says, well then maybe we should compare it to the Ola throughout. If you're going to say that you're learning from the Ola that it has to be above the Yisoid, then maybe just like when Ola Shtei Matona Shtei Nagra, Afkan Shtei Matona Shtei Nagra, maybe here by the Bechor and Meiser and Pesach, it also has to be, and of course it's not, because the Mishnah told us it's only one application. Especially we have a concept called Ein Gzeira Shava LaMetzer. If we're going to be learning from a Gzeira Shava, then we can't learn only half. We're going to learn everything. So then we should be learning all of that. Abaya answers the reason why is because like this. Lomali l'michtav saviv ba'ola saviv b'chatos. Consider, says Abaya, why does the Torah have to mention both by the Ola and by the Chatos the word saviv? Around. Where we said before, there's a difference between them. The Ola is Shrema Tonas Shrena Abra, and the Chatas is four individual daubings on the corners. But it does say the word Sovid by both men, implying that it has to go, the blood has to be on all sides of the Mizbeach. So Abaya says, therefore, what it means is you have two psukim that teach us the same point. And as we know, when you have two psukim that do that, we can't learn from them to anywhere else. So it doesn't work. The Torah tells us by Ola and by Chatos that the Torah tells us specifically by Ola and Chatos that it has to be Saviv, and therefore we learn from that, and therefore we see that it does not apply to anything else, only to those two. Rashi points out that now usually when we talk about that, usually when we talk about Shnei Ksum Amvoyim Ka'achad, what we mean is that we can't use that as a basis for a Binyan Av. Because we would say, if the Torah meant for us to use it as an example for everything else, which is what a Binyan Av is, then it would have said it only one of them, and we would have learned all the other ones from it. But because it says by two, then it means it's limited only to those two. Here, we're not talking about learning from a Binyan Av. We want to learn Gzeira Shova from it. Nevertheless, Rashi says Abaye is telling us that Shnei Ksum Amvoyim Ka'achad wouldn't even work to then learn by Gzeira Shova from it. That's it. Tosfos points out that, wait, we said the Gemara had explained earlier that we need the word Soviv by Ola. We actually need it to tell us that by the Ola, that it's not all around the Mizbeach, it's just Shematana Shenana. The point is the Soviv by the Chatas. And then Tosfos goes on to say, the fact is, even by the Ola, there are many times where it says Soviv, and in turn the Ola itself we can learn by Zera Shava from Shlomim, so therefore Abaya can well be saying that the word Soviv by both the Ola and the Chakas is extra, and therefore we can learn that, and therefore it means that it applies only to those, and not to any other Korban. There's further discussion about that, Chittim Kubertus brings from Rabbeinu Peretz that suggests that maybe the Gemara instead of Chatos over here, maybe it should say Shlomim, maybe it should say that it says Sovu by the Ola and by the Shlomim, and they have exactly the same kind of application, Shtei Matronas Shein Arba, and therefore Abaye is saying that Shnei Ksum Avoyim Ka'achad, and it means that it's restricted only to those and nothing else. And then there's a lot further discussion on that point of what exactly Abaye's point is. But the question is, the Gemara says, "Hanichal amanda amar in melamdin." All that works very nicely according to the opinion of the Chachamim that say that once you have two psukim from which we learn the same thing, you can't learn from it to something else. El amanda amar melamdin ma'if lamemar. What are you going to do according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we learned earlier in the Masechta, and the Gemara mentions in a number of places in Shas that you can learn from two psukim, you can make a binyan av from two psukim to elsewhere, just because it says it by two different ones, and we could have learned one from the other is not a reason to not learn a binyan av or gzeira shava from it to elsewhere. So the answer is, having osha. Because you also have by the Osham where it also says Sodom, have it Osham Shlosha. So now you have three times where it says Ushlosha Vade and Balam. And even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that saying three times something means you can't learn from it by Binyan Av, or as Rashi says, from Gzeira Shava to anywhere else. So that's it. So that's where we see that the Bechor and Meiser and Pesach do not have Shtei Matonas Shein. Next, Shitra Mukubetas points out that if you're going to say that the Osham you can't learn from the Ola, because as the Gemara said earlier in the parak, the Ola is completely burnt and the Osham is not. And meanwhile, the Osham is meant for Kapara, for certain Averis, and an Oiler is not. But you could say that's fine. You also have where it says the Gemara could have brought the Shlomim as well, where it also says Saviv, and that would work as the third one as well. Next, the Mishnah had said Abchor Nefal HaKoyanim. The Bchor is eaten by the Koyanim, and the Maiser we said is eaten by anybody, and we said both of them are eaten Shnei Yomim V'Layla Echad. So let's work out that detail. How do we know that these Korbanos can be eaten for 2 days and one night? How do we know that a Bchor is eaten for 2 days and one night? Shenemar, so the reason is because the Pasuk says, by the Bechor, it says of Sodom, Yeloch, Kachazeh, Hatsnufo, Cheshek, Yomin. The Pasuk says the meat of the Bechor should be for you, the Koyanim, like the breast that was waved, and like the right thigh of the animal, which are given to the Koyan from a Shlomim. Therefore, he Kishak, Chosav, Chosav, Cheshek, Shlomim. So the Torah is making a hekish between the Bechor and the Chosav, Cheshek, Shlomim. Ma Shlomim, Nefel, Lashne, Yomim, Velayla, Achad, Achachor, Nefel, Lashne, Yomim, Velayla, Achad. So just like the Chosav, Cheshek, shlomim, as we learned earlier, hamura mehem, kayotze behem, what's taken off the shlomim and given to the kohenim has exactly the same dinim of the shlomim in terms of the deadline that you have for eating it. So it would be also with the bechor. And the Gemara says, the Gemara tells, the Braisa tells, v'zu she'elam nishol l'fnei chachamim b'kerem b'yavne. This question, in fact, was asked in front of the chachamim in the kerem b'yavne. Kerem b'yavne means the famous yeshiva in Yavne. You have, as we know from the story of the Churban, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai got Aspasianus, Vespasian, the Roman general, shortly before the Churban, to agree. Aspasianus granted him three requests, and one of them, the first one was ten li Yavne v'chachameha, give me Yavne and its chachamim. In other words, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai wanted to reset up the central base medrash of the chachamim and the central Sanhedrin in Yavne, and Aspasianus granted that. So now they have the yeshiva there for a period of years, and they called it Kerem b'Yavne, which literally means the vineyard in Yavne, because the chachamim actually explains that the chachamim would sit there, brings from the Yerushalmi, that the chachamim would sit there in rows like in a vineyard. Why they called it that, as opposed to, you would think that they did that in the other yeshivas as well, I don't know, but in any case, they called it Kerem B'Yavne after that. Nowadays you have a well-known Dati Lumi yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael called Kerem B'Yavne. They took the name from that. Anyway, so this question was asked to the Chachamim in the Kerem B'Yavne, in the yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash, in Yavne. B'chor l'kama nechal. For how many days can you eat a b'chor? So Rav Tarfon spoke up and said that the answer is 2 days and one night, as we've been discussing all this time. Now, that day there was a Talmud who his first time coming to the Beis Medrash in front of the Chachamim. He had learned Torah elsewhere first, and now this was his first time in the central yeshiva in Yavne. His name was Rabbi Yosef Aglivi. So later on, Rabbi Yosef Aglivi became one of the great Chachamim, but at this point he's a Talmud who's his first time in the Beis Medrash. Yavne, by the way, is in the south of Eretz Yisrael, and in general, in that time, the center of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael was in the south. There were Jews living in the north, in the Galil, but that wasn't as much of a Mokum Torah at that point. So the Pashtos, that's why they called him Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Like, he came from the Galil, from the north of Eretz Yisrael, and he was nicknamed that. Whereas everybody else who was there was from the south of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Tarfon, where are you getting that from? You're saying Shnei Yom V'Lai Lacha. Where is the source for it in the Pasuk? Omer Lois, Rabbi Tarfon answers him, Bni, my son, meaning my Talmud, we can figure it as follows. We can make a binyan av. Shlomim kodshim kalim or b'chor kodshim kalim. Both shlomim and b'chor are kodshim kalim. Ma shlomim nechol l'shnei yom v'lai lacha. So just like the shlomim are eaten for 2 days and one night, afachon nechal l'shnei yom v'layla echad. Omoloi, but Rabbi Yosef really says, Rebbe, if you're going to go like that, you can figure it as follows. Think differently. B'chor maton l'koyin, the b'chor, fine, it's kodesh and kalin, but we also see there's something special about the b'chor that is given as a gift to the koyin. V'chatas v'osham maton l'koyin. And we also find that a person brings a chatas or an osham, those are also a gift to the koyin, and they're eaten only by the koyinim, as opposed to the shlomim, which is eaten by the owner. So make the mamotzinu that way. So therefore, maybe we should learn that just like the b'chatas and osham are eaten only for a day and a night, maybe the b'chor is the same way. Omaloi, so Rav Tarfon says, true, but nidain dover mitoich dover, v'numid dover mitoich dover. What we should do is, you're right, if we're going to make a binyan av, if we're going to make a mamatzinu, let's try and make it from something that is as similar as possible. We'll discuss a matter from within a similar matter, and we'll learn a matter from a similar matter. Ma shlomim ein bo nachet, apachor ein bo nachet. Reb Tarfon points out, a shlomim are not brought for a chet. A person brings a shlomim when he's feeling shalom, he's feeling complete, and he's feeling good, he's very happy for what Hashem is giving him, and he brings a shlomim to thank Hashem for that. And a bechor is also not coming for a chet. The bechor is coming because to commemorate the fact that the Eibush saved the Jewish people and their animals in Machas Bechoris. So mash, as opposed to a chatas and asham are coming for Averis. Therefore, we should go back to my comparison. Says Reb Tarfon, mash shlomim nechol l'shnei yom v'layla achad, at bechor nechol l'shnei yom v'layla achad. So therefore, we could compare it to the shlomim after all, and we can say that it's 2 days and one night. However, Omaloi, but Rabbi Yosef Lili still doesn't let up. He says, Rebbe, fine, I agree. Nidan Gavami Dover, Yumad Gavami Dover. It's true. We have to learn from the most similar thing, but we can find that the Chatas and Osham are more similar to Shlomim in a different way. Chatas for Osham Maton Lakoyan. Let's start again with the fact that the Chatas and Asham, like the Bechor, are all given to the Kohen, but we should argue, and we should point out there's another similarity between them. Ma Chatas for Asham ain't burned b'neder in a Dover. A Chatas or an Asham are not brought b'neder in a Dover. You can't voluntarily bring a Chatas or an Asham. A person brings a Chatas or an Asham when he's done an Aveira that makes him chay of it. And a bechor isn't neder and a dava either, because you can't donate to bechor. It's a bechor is born and then it has kedusha. So therefore, so now we have two similarities between bechor versus chatas and asham. So we should learn that way. So after all, we should say machatas v'osham nechol l'yom echad, at bechor nechol l'yom echad. So we should argue that in the same way, the chatas and osham are eaten for only one day, and so should the bechor. So in other words, basically, he's saying that as much as you're thinking, Reb Tarfon, that we should be able to learn from Shlomim, because look at all the ways a Bechor is similar to a Shlomim, but also consider all the ways in which a Bechor is similar to a Chatas or an Asham. So then we should learn it from that. In fact, a couple of them, Mephoshim, the Chot Nosan, Ponim Meiris, point out that Rabbi Yosef Lili's question is, not only it should be for a day and a night, maybe it should actually have to be eaten in the Azara. We talked about before, Tosfos was wondering what's the source that you can eat Bechor anywhere in the city, and then Tosfos had gone through a lot of trouble trying to figure that out. So Rabbi Yosef Lili is saying, you know what, maybe we should learn from Chatas and Asham, not only as far as the deadline, but maybe also the place. So that's the question. Well, at this point, Kofetz Reb Akiva. At this point, Reb Akiva jumped up to give an answer. They jumped in to give an answer. V'nistalek Reb Tarfon, and Reb Tarfon went away. Reb Tarfon gave up. Reb Yosef Lili had stumped him. Omaloi, so Reb Akiva now takes over the argument. He says to Reb Yosef Lili, Harehu Omer, the Pasuk says by the Bechor, Ovsoram Yeloch, this is the Pasuk that we brought before, that says the meat of the Bechor should be for you, and we had a hekesh between it and the Chazei Atznufa and the Shoik Atzruma, the breast and the thigh that are taken off from a Shlomim and given to the Kohen. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, so it's not just here, all this time we were arguing it's a Binyan Av. And you're right, if you're going to make a Binyan Av, you could compare it to Shlomim, but you could instead compare it to Chatas and Asham. But I'm telling you, it's not a Binyan Av, says Reb Akiva. It's a Hekesh. And we have a concept called Ein Meshivin Ala Hekesh. When you have something that the Torah says, that the Torah says a Hekesh, you can't shlug it up. So therefore, it compares it to Chozer V'Shoik of Shlomim. Therefore, Ma Shlomim Nechol L'Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad, Afnachor Nechol L'Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. So we would learn it that way by comparing it to the Chozer V'Shoik. But Rabbi Yosef really is still not satisfied. Omer lo, he says, he kashed the Chozer V'Shoik Shor Shlomim. You're trying to compare it to the Chozer V'Shoik Shor Shlomim. V'anim HaKish of the Chozer V'Shoik Tal Toida. You know what? Fine, of course there's a Hekesh. But you know, you also have a Chozer V'Shoik of a Toida. And as we learned earlier when it came to the Toida, HaMuram Mehem, we said what was taken off of the Toida, Kayotze Behem had the same dinim as far as the deadline. A Toida is eaten only for one day and the following night, and the Chozer V'Shoik that's taken off it and give it to the Kohen is the same thing. So make the Hekesh with that. Because after all, Tosfos says, we have a concept, the Gemara says in other places, kula v'chumra l'chumra makshinan. If we have a choice with a hekesh that it should result in a kula or in a chumra, we're going to go l'chumra. So therefore, we should be going l'chumra over here, and we should be saying it's only for one day and one night. So therefore, matoida nechelas liyem v'layla, atlachum nechel liyem v'layla. Amaloi, so Rabbi Akiva says, true, but harehu omo sorem yeloch. However, the pasuk says the pasuk doesn't just say. Now, the pasuk could have just said by the bechor the meat of it is like the chaz of a shirk. It could have just said of sodom kachazeyat tnufa, etc. Instead, it says of sodom yiyaloch she'ein tamad lema l'cho yiyah. So the pasuk did not have to say l'cho yiyah or yiyaloch. It didn't have to add those. It didn't have to add those words. In fact, it says it twice in the pasukim of sodom yiyaloch. Actually, it's both. The pasuk says of Sodom Yiyaloch, the meat of them, of the Bechor, Yiyaloch should be for you, the Kohenim, Kachazeat Nufo Chesheka Yomen L'cho Yiyah, like the breast and like the thigh, to you it should be. So Rabbi Akiva is pointing out that the Torah is adding the extra words, L'cho Yiyah, fine, I agree that we should maybe compare it to the chaz of a shirk shel toida. Rashi says because tafasta mu'at tafasta, if you're going to have a choice of what to learn from it, you're going to learn the lesser amount, or as Tosfos says differently, because you're going to be machmir when it comes to a hekesh, but because the pasuk continues, l'cha yiyah, and it already said earlier in the pasuk, yiyah l'cha, then that means, means the Torah is adding another being in the Bechor. Meaning, in other words, that therefore it's giving you, it's giving you an extra being, an extra state of being, like the one that you're learning from a Hekesh, Rashi says, meaning, in other words, that, so in other words, we're learning from Chaz of a Shoik, and I agree with you, Rabbi Yosef Levi, we could have learned from Chaz of a Shoik, Chol Torah, but those words, Yelacha, teaches us that there's something beyond that. That there's a havaya acheres, there's another being, another thing that it's telling us go beyond the chaz of a shoyk, and therefore it means that you have an extra day. A different girsa. The Sifri has a different girsa, not havaya acheres, but havaya achas. This whole braisa, the recording over here, comes from Sifri on that pasuk in Parshas Korach, and the Sifri actually says they're havaya achas. That means one havaya, one being. Meaning, in other words, that it's like the shlomo. So ultimately, Rabbi Yosef Levi, that is how we learn it. We have a hekesh between the bechor and the chaz of a shoyk and how do you know it's not the chaz of a shoyk of toida, and therefore it's only one day and one night, but rather the chaz of a shoyk of shlomim, and therefore you have 2 days and a night. We learn from those extra words, l'chol yiyah. Well, the braisa continues. Ukshenemru dvarim lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. When this whole discussion was told over to Rabbi Shmuel, Omar Lahan, he tells the Talmidim who reported it to him, Su'uv imru lo Rabbi Akiva ta'isa. Go and tell Rabbi Akiva, you're making a mistake. You're trying to learn from a hekesh. The problem is, Toda mehechem lamda mishlamim. After all, so you're making a mistake, he tells Rabbi Akiva. In the course of the argument, you had Rabbi Yosef really arguing that instead of making the hekesh with shlomim, instead make the hekesh with a toida, and therefore you're going to say that, that should be only for one day and one night. And Rabbi Akiva says only because it says yilcha, are we saying no? Rabbi Shmuel says no. Rabbi Akiva, that's a mistake. Don't think to concede to Rabbi Yosef really. The fact is, it can't be that we're referring to the toida in this hekesh. Because Toda mehechem lamda mishlamim. Because the Toda itself, where do we learn that the Toda itself is that you take a chaz of a shoyk from it? You learn it from the shlamim itself. Because the pasuk says if a person brings a shlamim and then it says imal Toda yakrivenu. In other words, by the Toda itself, it never says that you take the chaz of a shoyk. All it says by the Toda is that you take one of each type of bread, of the 40 loaves of bread that come with the Toda, and give that to the Kohen. Where do we know there's a chaz of a shoyk given to the Kohen from a Toda? Is because the pasuk starts by saying, if you bring a shlomim, and then it says if you bring a Toda. So that's a hekesh. In fact, Rashi brings this as an example of one of the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatur and Adreshes for him. Something that was part of a general rule, the Yotzal Lidon B'davar Chodesh, and it has a new rule applied to it. You can't put it back into its general category and say that it has a regular rule applied to it. Unless the Torah puts it back in explicitly. So here we have the Torah is different than a shlomim in that it has loaves of bread with it. So maybe it means that all you give to the Kohen is one each of the types of loaves. How do you know you also give a chos of a shoy? Is because the Pasuk says, and we learn from that what applies to a shlomim as far as chos v'shoik and also other things, smicha and nesachim, applies to a toida. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says to the Akiva, so the toida itself, the fact that there's a chos v'shoik, we're learning from shlomim. Well, and now Rabbi Yosef Levi is arguing to you that you should learn from a hekesh from the Torah to the Bechor, and you're saying, you know what, you have a point, and it would have been like that if it hadn't been for the words Lechol Yiyah. V'chidavar alamed behekesh, choyzer alamed behekesh. Does something that's derived at a hekesh, then can you learn from it with another hekesh? We learned earlier in the parak that you cannot. So therefore, he tells Rabbi Akiva, so you shouldn't be learning it. You shouldn't be learning it according to the last Lashon, according to what you said at the end that you learned from Lechol Yiyah, Ela B'Lashon Rishon. Go back to your original Lashon. You pointed out to Rabbi Yosi Aglili that you have a hekesh between Chos V'Shoik of Shlomim and Bechor. That's the correct answer, says Rabbi Shmuel. Don't pay attention to the fact that Rabbi Yosi Aglili is saying, what about Chos V'Shoik Shal Toida? Realize that would be a hekesh on top of a hekesh, and you can't do that. Okay, so what is Rabbi Akiva going to answer that? We'll get back to that in a minute. But first, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, hi, Lechol Yiyah, my other life. Well, then what is Rabbi Shmuel doing with the word Lechol Yiyah, which is what Rabbi Akiva is using for his Jerusha? The answer is, Rabbi Shmuel answers, Limud HaBachor Baal Mum Shehu Matona LaKoyim. We learn from that a Bachor that has a Mum is given as a present to the Koyim. The fact is that when the Bachor is a Tom, then you bring it as a Korban. What about when it has a Mum? You can't bring it as a Korban, but you still have to give it to the Koyim. And the Koyim shares it. In that case, then it's not only then you have Machloikas actually in Masechta Bachoris, whether only Koyim can eat it or whether anybody can eat it. The Halacha is anybody can eat it, the Koyim can serve it to whoever he wants. But the point is, how would we know that a Bechor Baal Mum is given to the Kohen? Shalom Atzinu B'chol HaTorah. We never find any such thing in the Torah. So therefore, from the word Lechol Yiyah is where we're learning it over here. That's according to Rashi. In fact, the Karen Oda makes a point that would be, if the animal was born with a mum, then that would be what we need the pasuk for. If the animal was born a tam and was supposed to be brought as a korban, and then later on it developed a mum, then of course you don't need a pasuk for that. It's obvious if it was supposed to go to the korban originally, it doesn't lose that status because it got a mum. However, Tosfos elsewhere points out, that can't be what the Gemara says. What do you mean? And if it didn't say it, we wouldn't know b'chol haTorah kula. That's how drashas work. What's Rabbi Shmuel's lashon? Shaloi matzinu b'chol haTorah. So rather, Tosfa says, you don't find, by other korbanos, you don't find such an analogy. You have, let's say, a chatas or an osham. What happens if you have an animal that was supposed to be a chatas or an osham, and it develops a mum? You don't give it to the koyan. You sell it, and you use the money to buy another chatas or an osham. Why shouldn't we say the same thing with a b'chor? That's the chidush, and that is why the Torah needs to tell us l'chol yiyah, that no, you give the actual b'chor baal mum to the koyan. Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, Yalifle Besorim. He says, because the Pasuk says, Besorim, their flesh, Loshen Rabim, Chad Tam, Chad Baal Mum. So it refers to two types of Bechor that you give to the Kohen. One a Tam, one a Baal Mum. Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? What is he doing with the word Besorim in the plural? He says, Mebesorim, the Hanach Bechor is comma. It just means Besorim in the plural because it referred before that to three types of animals. The Pasuk had said, Ach Bechor Shur, or Bechor Kesev, or Bechor Ez. So therefore, three species of animals. So now it says, their meat, meaning the meat of any of these three types, has the same din. So it's nothing to do with Tam versus Baal Mum, and therefore he needs the word Yilachot to teach you about the Baal Mum. Okay, so now we've taken care of what each of them is doing with the words of the pasuk, but now the question is, Rabbi Shmuel seems to have a valid point against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is saying that Rabbi Akiva was accepting Rabbi Yosef Levi's argument that you could have learned from a hekesh and then another hekesh, and he's saying you need the word l'chol yiyah to tell you that not, and Rabbi Shmuel is pointing out that you can't do that. You can't do a hekesh on top of another hekesh. So, B'mai Kamifagi, what is the underlying argument? So the answer is, mausa, because you have to consider like this. When we learn, what are we saying over here? We're learning like this. The chos of a shoyk, the fact that the chos of a shoyk, of a toida, is given to the kohen, that, yes, we're learning from a hekish. But the fact, but the amount of time that you have to eat a toida is not derived from anything. That says, refaders from the toida, that the toida can be eaten only for one day and one night. So what you have is like this. Marisav, Rabbi Shmuel holds, hey, menu v'dava acher, when you're learning something, you have a halacha that it says in a particular, by a particular kind of korban, and you also have the dava acher, but you have another detail within it that's learned by a hekish. Rabbi Shmuel holds, have a hekish, that's considered a full-fledged hekish, and therefore then now you can't do another hekish on top of that. So what happens over here? So Rabbi Shmuel would say like this. The fact, how do we know that the chos of a shoyk of a toida can be eaten only for one day and one night? Well, the fact that it's one day and one night itself, it says by the toida, but the fact that there's the chos of a shoyk in the first place, we learn by a hekish. So therefore, Sir Rabbi Shmuel holds, that is considered a full-fledged hekish. Therefore, we can say that the fact that you learn, that the fact that a toida, that the chos of a shoyk of toida is eaten for one day and one night is completely considered to be learned from a hekish, and then you can't learn another hekish from that, which is his objection to Rabbi Akiva. Umar Sava Loi have a hekish. Rabbi Akiva holds that's not considered a hekish, because Rabbi Akiva says, you're not learning it entirely from, all you're learning from, you want to learn from Toida is the day and the night. And it says a day and a night by the Toida. You want to argue that we're learning specifically from the Chos of a Shoyk. And it doesn't say Chos of a Shoyk specifically. Rabbi Akiva is not bothered by that. So he considers, you don't have a Hekish in the first place. You have a day and a night that it says the Faders by the Toida in the Pasuk. And therefore, the fact that we're learning that applies also to the Chos of a Shoyk, Rabbi Akiva does not consider that to be a Hekish. And therefore, he doesn't have a problem with learning a Hekish from Toida to Bechor, and therefore he accepts Rabbi Yisraeli's objection that should be a valid hekesh. And why don't we do that? And the answer is, that we learn from the word Yielachon not to do that. Okay, so let's analyze this point about hey menu v'dover acher. Again, when you have a detail about a korban, where partially it says in the pasuk over there, but partially you have to learn it from something else. So the Gemara says, "Vishlema lamanda amaloi have a hekish." It's easy to understand, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that such a thing is not considered a hekish, and therefore you're allowed to make another hekish based on it. Then hainu d'chdiv. Then let's consider. The pasuk says about the sprinkling of the blood of the korbanos of Yom Kippur. And the expression in the pasuk is v'chein yasa la'oil moed. So you have like this. You have the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the blood of the par, and he does the sprinklings achas l'mayel of the shev l'manta. Then he goes in with the blood of the soyer and does the same thing. And then he does the same thing in front of the parochas. So the pasuk says, the pasuk uses the expression v'chein yasa la'oil moed. So should he do in the oil moed, meaning in the heichel. So what does that mean? So Braisa explains, Kishem from Mazel of Snaiva Lefnim, Achar from Mayla Vasheva Lamata, just like inside or in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the inner sanctum, he does one above and seven below, as the Pasuk says, Midama, Achar from Mayla Vasheva Lamayla Midama Poru, using the blood of the power, Kach. Mazav Hechel, the same way he sprinkles from the blood of the power, also in the Hechel, Achas Lamayla Vesheva Lamata, Uchshem Shalafnai Velefnim, Achas Lamayla Vesheva Lamata, Midamasur, and the same way as Lefnai Velefnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He does one above and seven below with the blood of the Sur, Kach Mazav Hechel, the same way he does in the Hechel. So in other words, what are we doing? We're doing a Hekish between the par and the sur, because by the sur, the pasuk says, va'osa es domo, kasha osa le dam ha'por. He should do to the blood of the sur as he had done to the blood of the par. So that's a hekish. And now the Braisa is saying that we're able to learn, so what are we doing? This is an example of heimenu v'dava achar. Because we have the number of hazoris it says in the pasuk, but the dover acher is the fact that we're learning the power from the sur, and we're learning inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim from outside. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that would be fine, because according to Rabbi Akiva, then we see that that's fine, and we're able to learn that way. El lamando ama have a hekesh ma'ikol meimer. But if according to Rabbi Shmuel, once the first thing himenu v'dover acher is considered a full fledged hekesh, then what are you going to do? How are we learning? We're saying the fact that the number of sprinklings of the sur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're saying is an example of Heimenu V'dover Acher, because it says some of it by the blood of the sur, and then it says some of it by the blood of the power, and the rest of it we're learning by a hekesh. So therefore, so now you want to learn from that to the tazor, to the sprinklings in the hechel, that would be hemenu v'darachar. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's valid, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's not valid. That's considered a hekesh, and you can't learn another hekesh from it. So how does Rabbi Shmuel know that there are 8 sprinklings of the par and the sur each in the hechel? The answer is we're not actually learning the par and the sur from one another. You're right. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that would be a hekesh and then another hekesh. What we're doing is we're learning the places from one another. In other words, this is a new hekesh that we never had before. The first hekesh teaches us that the par and the sur is the same. The second hekesh teaches us that the kodesh, hakadoshim, and the kodesh are the same. Here you want to have the Heimenu with Dabar Achra that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva were discussing before involved. You had a din that applied to the cause of a shoik of Toida, and then you want, which you learned by Heimenu with Dabar Achra, you learned by partial Hekish, and now you want to apply that to Bechor, and Rabbi Shmuel says that's no good, you can't do that, and Rabbi Akiva says that would have been fine. But here, it's two different hekeshim altogether that are not directly connected. One hekesh teaches us that the pyre and the sur are the same, and the other one teaches us that the kodesh hakodashim and the kodesh are the same. So therefore, no problem even according to Rabbi Shmuel doing that. The borisema, or another way you could say it, chutz mipnim b'chodesh zimne gomer. All it is it's not really two hekeshim. We're learning what happens outside the kodesh hakodashim from what happens inside all at once. In other words, what we're doing is we're doing all at once. Let's say the hekesh of places of kodesh hakodashim versus kodesh is the same as the hekesh of different animals, but the hechel, we're learning the entire thing from bifnim. And once we have bifnim, that we have that the Torah says achas lamaila, v'shevel lamata by the par, and we say that it means by the sur as well. Then automatically, together with it, we're doing one big hekesh that says that that whatever takes place inside takes place outside. So that's not a problem. When it came to the Toda, when it came to the Chos of a Shoik of Toda versus the Bechor, then the point was it wasn't about the Toda as a whole, it was about the Chos of a Shoik. So Rabbi Shmuel didn't like that, and he said that would be a hekesh and then another hekesh. But here, we're doing one big hekesh that says that whatever takes place with Nim takes place b'chutz, and Rabbi Shmuel is fine with that. Tosfos discusses the matter further and discusses how exactly when exactly do we consider something to be a double hekesh and when do we not? Tosfos brings among other things from the Ri that says what it means is we're learning it's like this when the Torah tells us by the Sur that you have achas lamayla v'shev lamata and it says v'chein yasal oyo moed, it means by both of them the par and the Sur. So therefore that's what it means, we learn all at once, we're learning from the Sur to everything else, and it's not a double hekesh. Or another explanation from Rabbeinu Hanano, that it means that we're learning that what's done inside and what's done outside, it should be exactly the same. So in other words, it's not a double hekesh. So Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't have a problem with that. All right, the Gemara says, here's another one. You're telling me Heimenu v'dover acher is considered a hekesh. So, b'shleim elamanda omer loy have a hekesh. Now you have the Gemara as printed in front of us over here has b'shleim elamanda omer have a hekesh. Now the question is going to be that it seems to work out well according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that such a thing is considered a hekesh, but how would we understand that according to Rabbi Akiva? Hagoz HaBach points out that it should be the other way around, that and all the other mafoshim, the Shutta Bukubetzes and Birkas HaZevach and so forth also point out the same thing, that it's supposed to be the other way around. The Gemara is asking the following question. It works out well, what we're going to quote now of Braisa, according to Rabbi Akiva, but how would Rabbi Shmuel explain it? So b'shleim elamanda omer loy have a hekesh. According to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that heimenu v'dover acher is not considered a hekesh, and therefore that now you can learn another hekesh on top of it, heinu d'chtiv. So let's consider by the shtei alechem that you bring on Shavuos. The pasuk says, "Mimoshveisechem taviu lechem tnufa." From your dwellings, meaning from anywhere from Eretz Yisrael, you should bring bread to be waved. And now, she'ein tamad lema taviu. Now, the pasuk did not have to say taviu. You should bring mimoshveisechem lechem tnufa. From your dwelling places, there should be bread to be waved. What are we learning from the word taviyu? We learn from that. Anything that you're learning that is a now it's like this. What we're gonna be working out over here is how do we know how large are each of the shtei alechem? And in turn we're gonna learn from that how large are each of the loaves that are brought with a korban toida. So now what we're gonna do is like this. The shtei alechem are chometz. The toida also, 10 of the loaves of bread that come with it, are chometz. What is the size of those loaves? We're going to learn from here. So, matam adam tovyu. What does it mean when it says tovyu? Kol sha'at amevi mimokam l'mokam acher. Whenever you're bringing in a different place, whenever you're bringing a chometz as part of a korban, harehu kazeh, then it means it's the same size. Now, mala halan isorim l'chala. So what you're doing is like this. So actually, what we're doing is we're learning from the shtei alechem. Yeah, to the chometz. So malahalon isorin lachala, just like by the shtei alechem, it's one isorin per chala, and we know that because the Torah clearly says shnei esrinim, that the two of them together make up two esrinim, which means that each chala is one isorin, which is a shiur chala. So just like by the shtei alechem, each one is an isorin. Afkan isorin lachala, the same way by the chometz loaves in a toida, then also each one is an isorin. Now, continues the braise, e malahal and shnei asurinim, afkan shnei asurinim. You could argue differently. The total amount of bread that's brought as a shtei alechem is two asurinim, because one for each. Well, when it comes to the toida, it's 10 loaves, maybe afkan shnei asurinim. Maybe it means the total amount for the 10 lachme toida, the 10 chometz loaves, should be two asurinim. You're saying that you're comparing and saying that it's one isorin per loaf, and that's the comparison. Why? Maybe it means the comparison should be the total across all the loaves is two esrinim. So in the case of the shtei alechem, that would be one isorin per loaf. And in the case of the lachmei toda, it would be one-fifth of an isorin per loaf. No, tamalema tiyena. Therefore, the pasuk says tiyena, they shall be. And therefore we learn from that, that the chalas of the toda is total 10 esrinim and not two. This part of the pasuk is written in connection with the shtei alechem, but we use it for the lachmei toida. Tosfos discusses over here, brings from the relevant Gemara in Menachos a few different explanations. How exactly does that word tiyena result in a limud that by the shtei that by the lachmei toida you have one isorin apiece. So Tosfos brings a couple of possibilities. One explanation. So Rashi just says over here, the Gemara derives it over there, but going into the details is one possibility is because. Is because we learn from Gzeira Shava, from Trumas Meister, where it's 1 out of 10. So we see that there are 10 chalas, and therefore we learn that each one consists of one isorin. And that's fine, because you can learn something with Gzeira Shava and then learn something else with a Hekesh, as we learned earlier in the Perek, and besides which anyway, Trumas Meister is Chulin, and as we learned earlier in the Perek, it's not a problem to do Lomid Min HaLomid, pointed at Papa, where the first thing is outside of Kodeshim anyway. Anyway, then Tosfos says other possibilities. One point is, the word tiyena has an extra yud in it, and that means 10 loaves, and that means each loaf is going to be this size. So there's a couple of ways of understanding how exactly from this word tiyena is it that we're using it as part of Gzeira Shava, or is it that we're learning from the extra yod of the word tiyena? So there are 10 chalas, and then once we do that, then we're saying that each one has to be an isarin. Now v'lamadnu asar l'chometz. So that tells us then, continues the Braisa, that you have 10 loaves of chometz. Asar al matzah minayin. How do we know that each of the three types of matzah that comes with the toida also has to consist of 10 loaves? So Talmud Lomar, al chalos lechem chometz. Because the pasuk says by the toida that you bring the three types of matzah together with loaves of chometz bread. So that means we have a hekesh. Neged chometz. That means the amount of matzah has to be equivalent. Neged chometz, have matzah, parallel to the chometz, bring matzah. So from that we learn that in fact there were, in fact, so from that we learn, So, not the number of chalas, but rather the number of esronim. Once we've established that there are 10 esronim for the chametz, one isorin per loaf, which we said we're learning from the shtei alechem, then in turn we're learning from that. So the matzah, that there are 10 esronim for all of the matzah together. So the loaves of matzah, each one of them is about one third the size of the chametz one, because you have all together, by the matzah ones, you have 30 breads made out of 10 esronim, and by the chametz you have 10 breads made out of 10 esronim. So now that we've learned that, so now according to Rabbi Akiva, then that's fine, because what we're doing is we're doing a hekesh from the shtei alechem to the chometz of the Torah, and then in turn we're doing a hekesh from the Torah to the chometz of the Torah to the matzah of the Torah, but it's hemenu v'dova acher, because we're not learning exclusively from a hekesh. We're learning only partially from the hekesh. So it's himenu v'dava achar. The chometz itself, we learn partially from the shtei alechem and partially from what it says by it itself. So that's himenu v'dava achar. At a point of akiva, that's fine. Then to learn from that a hekesh to something else. So el lamando omer loy have a hekesh ma'ik lemeimer. A point of Rabbi Shmuel who holds that el lamando mahave hekesh. A point of Rabbi Shmuel who holds that the first one is already considered a full hekesh ma'ik lemeimer. Then what are you going to say? How can you learn a hekesh from the chometz to the matzah? And the answer is taviu yaseiri. The answer is that Rabbi Shmuel would answer the word taviu that it said by the shnei alechem is extra, because again, like we said before, it could have said mimashvei seichem lechem tnufa, and therefore, so it's considered as though, because it says the extra word taviu, it's not considered a hekesh. It's considered as though that word taviu is actually referring to the lachmei toda, and therefore, it's not a hekesh. From a hekesh, you have it's a the toda is telling us clearly from the word taviu that it means that each loaf of the chometz of the toda is one isorin, and then we're learning that to the matzah by a hekesh, and that's fine. That's a single hekesh, and there's no problem with that. Okay, so in short, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing on this rule that we said before, Dabar Alamed Behekesh, Einah Chozer, Malamed Behekesh. How does that apply? When do we say it's considered a full-fledged Hekesh? And you can't do that, versus when do we say that it's not considered a full Hekesh because you're learning it partially from something that it said by it itself, and therefore it would be fine to learn another Hekesh from it. Rabbi Akiva holds that's fine, Rabbi Shmuel holds that's not. Okay. The Mishnah had said a Pesach in there. Hold up, Pesach can be eaten only until Chatzos. So the Gemara says, Man Tana, which Tana is it that said that? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. That would be according to Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. The Tanya, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. Nemar kan b'layla hazeh. It says by the Korban Pesach you have to eat it this night. But Nemar lahalon. It says by Makas b'choris. V'arvav to Eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. Hashem says I will pass through Eretz Mitzrayim on this night. Ma lahalon ad Chatzos. So just like Makas b'choris was until Chatzos. Afkanan Chatzos, the same way the Korban Pesach is until Chatzos. An interesting point, actually, the choice was Yom Tov brings in his Pirush on the Rosh in Brachos. So the Matzah B'choros is a momentary thing at Chatzos. So maybe it means the Korban Pesach has to be eaten exactly at Chatzos. And he gives a couple of answers. One of them is because you have to eat a Pesayis and you can't possibly eat it in that one moment of Chatzos. And there's a couple of other answers as well. How we know it's until Chatzos, maybe it starts at Chatzos, etc. Fine. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, in short, holds it's midoraisa that you can eat the Korban Pesach only until Chatzos. Omalo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says to him, no. V'aloi kvar nema v'achaltem osi b'chipozen. Doesn't the pasuk say that you have to eat it in haste? And that means ad shas chipozen. That means you have until the time your deadline is at the time when you're going to be hastening to leave Mitzrayim. Now that's going to be only in the morning, because as we know, the pasuk tells us, Moshe tells them, nobody leave their house tonight. So therefore, so Rabbi Akiva says, the fact that it says v'achalta moisi b'chipozin means you have until the time when you're actually hastening to leave Mitzrayim. The Gemara in Brachos points out that Rabbi Ozman Azariah would answer to that. He says the chipozin means the haste of the Mitzrayim. Comes Makas Pachoras, and the Mitzrayim are in a hurry to get the Jewish people to leave, and Pare is running around in his pajamas in the middle of the night, and then Kumutsu Mitoichami, but they didn't actually leave until the morning. So Rabbi Ozman Azariah would understand chipozin that way. But anyway, Rabbi Akiva says chipozin means until the morning. In Kain Matam Lema Balaila Azeh, so why does it say on this night? if you can eat till the morning, of course it means yabol night. So the reason is shiyachol yehekel chol hakodshim and acholim bayoyim. You would think that the korban pesach should be like all other kodshim, which are eaten on the day they're shechted. So maybe you should be able to eat the korban pesach on erev pesach. Tamalim balayla. So Rabbi Akiva says that's why it says balayla. Balayla yehnechol vein nechol bayoyim. It can only be eaten by night, not by day. Rabbi Akiva holds that you could eat it midaraisa all night. So therefore, when our Mishnah says you can eat it only until chatzos, it would have to be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. So the Gemara says Omalei Abaya, but Abaya. So that's a very specific explanation. But Omalei Abaya, only my Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, udaraisa. How do you know that our Mishnah is specifically like Rabbi Elazar ben Azari? And it's saying something which is only Daraisa, Duma Dirabonon. Maybe the Mishnah is saying that you can eat the Korban Pesach until Chatzos. Maybe that's only Dirabonon, like it says at the beginning of Brachos. La'harchik min Avera, to prevent a person from doing an Avera, just like we said by other Korbanos. We said that other Korbanos that are eaten by night, we said Minatora, you have until the morning, and only Midirabonon, you make a Gzeira to not eat past Chatzos. We talked about there, and Tosfos mentions it over here, that the Chacham didn't feel a need to do that by Shkia when you have the Shlomim and the other Korbanos that we said, the Bechor and the Meiser, that can be eaten, the Shnei Yom and the Laila Echad, so we didn't make a Gzera that you have to stop before Shkia, because fine, Shkia is easily noticeable, but in the middle of the night, you may not realize when you're coming to Alos HaShachar. So maybe the Mishnah is saying Ela Ad Chatzos because of that. So then it could be a point of Rabbi Akiva as well. And the answer is in Kain Mai Ela Ad Chatzos. Then why would the Tana say only until Chatzos? All the other ones, says, all the other Mishnayos in our Perek, it said that they can be eaten Ad Chatzos. Here, all of a sudden, or all other Mishnayos that talk about not in our Perek, in all other Mishnayos, in where it talks about eating Korbanos, it always says you can eat them Ad Chatzos. Here, all of a sudden, it says Ela Ad Chatzos. So that means that so ela ki hosam. So rather, what it means is it's just like the other things in the Mishnah. Ma hosam midaraisa. The other details that I mentioned in the Mishnah that can be eaten only by those who are registered for it and can be eaten only roasted is midaraisa. Daraisa. Those details are daraisa. Ach kanami daraisa. The same way over here when the Mishnah is saying ela ad chatzos, then it means that daraisa, and it would mean that therefore you have until chatzos, only on a daraisa level, and that could only be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rashi points out there was a girsa in front of him that the Gemara was giving two answers. Number one, that ela, why does it say ela ad chatzos, and also that we're comparing it to the other things in the Mishnah. Rashi doesn't say that girsa. Rashi instead says ela, which is how we have it in the Gemara, because eventually the copyists and the printers followed Rashi's girsa, and therefore it's one answer. That since it says ela ad chatzos, then it means it's comparing it to the other things in the Mishnah. Tosfos says that another way of understanding is that the Gemara is in fact giving two answers. If it meant Dirabonon, then it would put that at the end. But instead it puts it in the middle. Eina Nechel Ela Balayla, which just says Daraisa. The Eina Nechel Ala Chatzos, you want to argue, is Dirabonon. The Eina Nechel Ala Lemnuya, the Eina Nechel Al Soli, which is again Daraisa. The fact that it puts it in the middle implies that it's Daraisa like that. And then Shittim Kubetzis brings another point as well, that because it says Ela Ad Chatzos, the point is that it says that you can't eat it only until Chatzos, meaning that's specifically Daraisa. Because if it was Dirabonon, then you would just say Ad Chatzos like we did by the other ones. And again, then you have Tosfos' answer that because it puts it between other things that are Daraisa. Now, the interesting question is, who is the halacha like in the end? Is the halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you can eat only until Chatzos, the Korban Pesach, you can eat only until Chatzos Daraisa, or is it like Rabbi Akiva, that you could eat it until the morning Daraisa, and only Midrabanan can you eat only until Chatzos? Tosfos says over here that you have here and various other Mishnayos at the end of Pesachim, at the beginning of Brachos, that go according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and those are Stam Mishnayos, implying that the halacha should be like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that midaraisa you can eat only until Chatzos. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who argue against that and say the fact is we have a general rule, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi, that we usually have a rule, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he's against one other Tana, and therefore that would mean the halacha should be like Rabbi Akiva over here. And there is a Stam Mishnah in one place, so you have the Tosfos and then Rabbeinu Hananel and a number of other Rishonim, Mordechai and a number of other Rishonim hold like Tosfos, that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you can eat it only until Chatzos Daraisa. On the other hand, the Rambam and the Rimi Korbel and a number of other Rishonim hold like Rabbi Akiva, and they said because halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi, and you have a Stam Mishnah in Megillah like Rabbi Akiva as well. So, and then you have a few other Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ran and the Rosh, all have a suffix about it. Now, the result of it is, Tosfos says, the Nakamina for us would be, when can you eat the Afikomen until? The Afikomen, after all, is meant to be Zeichel the Korban Pesach. So then if we say the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then you would have to eat the Afikomen before Chatzos. If you say that it's only Dirabbanan, then you could eat it after Chatzos. And if you say that it's a Sofik, then Rishonim say, then Mitzanda Sofik, you should eat it before Chatzos. On Minhag, in fact, is that on the first night, which we try to be careful to eat it before Chatzos, but on the second night, we're not careful about that. So one point is that we're saying that there's Machloikas, and therefore, so we do both, actually. We eat the Afikomen before Chatzos, at least on the first night, but we continue Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim after that. There is an interesting idea. The Avnei Nezer brings an interesting idea that we can make a T'nai. Basically, the Avnei Nezer explains, you can make a T'nai and say like this. You have Rishonim who say that you can eat, that you have to eat it before Chatzos, but then you also have Rishonim who say that you can eat it after Chatzos, and you have others who say that you can eat it after Chatzos, so therefore basically you can make a T'nai. You eat it before Chatzos, and if that's the halacha, that you have to do that, then fine, you've eaten it before Chatzos, but those Rishonim hold that you could eat it, that you could continue eating afterwards, because those Rishonim hold, says the Avnei Nezer, that you, it's fine, you don't have to keep the taste of the matzah of the afikomen in your mouth for that long, as long as you keep it until chatzos, then you're good, and afterwards you could eat. And then on the other hand, if you say that the taste has to remain in your mouth the rest of the night, then fine, that opinion would also say that you could eat after chatzos, and therefore that would be fine. So he talks about making a t'nai like that, but there's a lot of discussion about among achronim whether such a t'nai can work, and you can make a t'nai by a mitzvah, and so on and so forth. So there's considerable discussion about it. Lamaisa, until I prepared the sugya, I don't think I ever came across this concept of the Avnei Nezer. But in any case, the point is, so Lamaisa, on Minig, the first night, we are careful. We do try to be careful to eat the Afikomen before Chatzos, but the second night, we're not, and then we continue with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim the whole night. Hadron Aloch Ezer Mokhoimer. I should try out.